Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, stepping in as your host today. I am delighted to introduce our leading lady because our topic today is maximizing your membership in any organization. And I think all of us as professional women struggle with what groups to join, how active should we be volunteering? It's this endless kind of thing because, you know, we're only as good as the network of people we have around us. So that said, I'm delighted to introduce our leading lady, who is Deborah Rodney, and she is the founder and owner of Membership Resources, and we're going to be talking about how to get the most out of membership in any organization. So Deborah, say hello to our listeners.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you, Michelle. I'm delighted.
Well, I'm excited to have you on our show because I do hear from so many women, Deborah, in our association. You know, we are an association of female leaders, and I know I've been a member of chambers. I was always told when I first started my career, hey, you need to get out there and you need to network. And some of us thrive in that environment. Some of us freak out in that environment, and I just really want our listeners maybe to kind of understand, gosh, how can they maximize their membership in any organization? Let's start with that.
Well, first of all, I think it's important to be clear with yourself about what you want to get out of membership in any organization. So there are so many different, as you said, so many different things that you can join, from chambers to alumni associations to networking organizations. And it really depends on what your goals are. And I think if you can sit down with yourself and be clear about, what do I want to do? Do I want continuing education, a certification? Do I want to really build a network of relationships, which is what most people want to do? Most people want to build their networks, develop relationships, or stay current with what's going on in their industries. That's why they join trade associations. But, you know, a lot of good things can come out of that, such as career advancement. Some people, you know, younger people are joining to find mentors. Sometimes there's more than one objective in joining an organization, and based upon those objectives, you'll want to choose which organization or organizations are the best fit for you. And one of the things
That leads to a couple of questions. You brought up some things. I mean, can you kind of unpack for our listeners what's the difference between, let's say, a trade association versus a chamber or some of these other networking groups? I mean, in my mind, those are very different things and benefits that people would get out of them. Just so our listeners have an understanding, you know, more clearly about what those are and maybe what the differences are and how they benefit.
That's a great question, Michelle. I'm glad you asked that. Because I belong to a number of different organizations myself over the years and received different benefits from different ones. And so it's really kind of good to do some homework and learn what you're going to get out of each of those different types of organizations. So, for example, every industry has their niche trade association. When I got into this business, I was amazed at how many different ones there are, and certain industries have multiple trade associations and organizations. Mm-hmm. So mostly people will join those to get further their careers, to get current and up-to-date information about the industry. Many of those organizations also do lobbying for that industry. So there's a sense that, you know, sometimes there's a political overtone so that you can have a voice. For example, the California Teachers Association advocates in Sacramento on behalf of teachers. And so if you're a teacher, you really want to make sure that your interests are met, and if you're part of that association, you can have a voice. Chambers of commerce are more local for local cities and, you know, they're more of a, for the community. And the people that tend to belong to those are small businesses and sometimes large businesses as well. It's a mix of businesses. But that's the kind of organization that you want to join if you want to get involved in your local community, if you want to promote your business, if you want to meet other business people locally. They have local events, local networking. They have ribbon cutting ceremonies if you're starting a business. So, you know, that's sort of a more local, whereas the trade associations tend to be statewide or national. So it's a different pond that you're swimming in. There are also quite a few professional and business networking associations, which people would join because they want to build their businesses, find resources for their clients, and they want to create strategic partnerships. So it's really, most people join that as a business development tool or as a networking. And when I say networking, there are lots of reasons. You know, some people will join that to build their businesses like they would a chamber of commerce. But also, you know, it's really just to create business relationships that will take you through your career. And I can't stress enough the value of doing that.
It is, but you know, one thing I hear over and over by women, Deborah, is they'll say, you know, I'm going to back up, because I know you've been doing this mm-hmm. a long time, and I started networking in the early 90s, right? And I think networking was very different back in the early 90s as to what it is today. And I know you've been working with people mm-hmm. And organizations quite a while. I mean, I think so many people have a problem with the word networking. I mean, how do you define networking, right? Because I think to set the stage, some people maybe have a wrong idea about what networking is, or they've had a bad experience or a good experience. But how would you define networking to our listeners so they have a better understanding of really what's networking?
I think it's a very, it's a tough word, and I don't like the word either. In fact, when I was a member of PNG, which was Professionals Network Group, back, I guess this mm-hmm. was in the early 2000s, my company at the time was a marketing company, and we were asked to help rebrand them to get the word networking out of the name, because it was a negative mm-hmm. for a lot of people. And it was changed to Provisors, which was a contraction of professional advisors, to really change the image away from networking into a collaborative kind of, we're here as professionals, we're advisors, to sort of raise, you know, the brand, the level of thinking about it, so that it took it away from some of these other networking groups that got a bad rap because people showed up with their business cards and they were selling to each other. And that, we didn't want that connotation at all. And I think that's why networking, the name and the word networking, gets a bad rap. Because you visualize someone walking up to you at a big event where you don't know anybody and introducing themselves and handing you a business card, and that's really, really, and you know this as well as I do, that's not going to get you anywhere, and that's not what it's about. When I say networking, I mean building a network of relationships. And this is for the long game. It's not something that happens immediately, and you have to go in to the group, to the organization, and with a mindset that this is something that I'm going to develop over my entire career. I'm going to find people. This is a way to meet people that I wouldn't otherwise meet, who are quality people, who will have my back and I'll have their back, who are people that I can collaborate with, that I can refer to, and that possibly will refer to me. But you don't go into it with that in mind. I think if you go into it with the idea of giving and helping and forming relationships and building these collaborative, rather than what am I going to get out of it and how can I get business, I think you'll be much more successful. And people will be attracted
to you. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, here's a question. I just wanted to kind of jump in because I think that really defines how people can look at networking. And I always like to say it's like everybody, you know, like hates to network, but they all want a network, right? We all want a circle of people as our go-to resources. But, you know, just because I know we're limited on time and I apologize for interrupting, but what are some things, you know, specifically someone can do when they join an organization? I mean, what should they look for? It's like, what should they kind of evaluate on the groups? Because I know one thing that I locked into that you said, Deborah, was give it time. But, you know, some people, they come in, they're like, oh, this is the wrong group or the right group, or they don't know how to, you know, really evaluate a group and go, this is the right group for me. What would be some tips you would give our listeners about evaluating groups to see if it's the right fit for them?
Well, that's also a great question, and I think it's important to do that. I think one of the things, most groups will let you come to a meeting or two at no charge to just check out what it's about, and to see what kind of people are there, and to see what the vibe is. For myself, for example, you had me visit one of your Connected Women of Influence events, and I felt a very nice, warm welcome, a sense of community. People were reaching out to me. I felt very welcomed. I think this is important that, you know, because a lot of people are uncomfortable with networking, if they show up at an event and they feel like people are there to help them and that are to support them and are welcoming to them, you know, that's the sense of community that you're looking for. I've been to other groups where I was invited to a meeting and I walked in and there were people in clumps talking to one another. It's difficult to break in. You feel uncomfortable. You don't know really what to do. No one greets you. You walk up to a table and there's a bunch of name tags and you have to look for your name tag. Or you get someone gives you your name tag and then you walk into this big room and it's like, oh, no, you know, what do I do now? It's very off-putting. And so, you know, if you have a feeling like that when you walk into an event, that's probably not a group you want to be a part of. The other thing is talk to people who are members. You know, what if, and I just joined an organization for association executives, which is my target market. And before I joined, I went to an event. I liked it very much. I thought the people were terrific and very friendly, very supportive. And then I called a few of the people and said, hey, how long have you been a member? What have you gotten out of it? What were you looking for? What do you think are the best outcomes from this organization? You know, I just interviewed a few people and I got some very positive feedback that they thought it was really valuable to be part of. So, you know, doing a little bit of homework is always a good idea. Going in person, spending a little time at an event and talking to the people there. And then once you do decide to join, I think you do have to give it some time. I've witnessed people who join an organization and then if the organization doesn't reach out to them and support them in the first 1 or 2 or 3 months of their membership, they get discouraged and they drop out. Yeah. So it's important to see that the organization has an onboarding process, has an outreach to new members to make them feel welcome, to make them feel a part of the organization. That's a good sign if they're doing that. The organization that I just joined, I got an email within a week, and then someone called me to follow up. And so that really kind of confirmed my, you know, my rationalization that it was good that I joined. So those are some of the things you look for. And then, you know, it also depends on what you want to get out of it. You know, like I said before, if you have a clear vision of why you're joining this organization and what outcomes you expect, then my strong advice would be to create a strategy for yourself. You know, have a plan. I'm going to give this a year. Or I'm going to give this 18 months. And at the end of 18 months, I would like to have accomplished this. And even write it down. And then, you know, figure out the best ways to go about doing that. Because as you know, Michelle, you can spend a lot of time going to meetings and conferences and events and spinning your wheels. It's very time consuming. So you want to make sure, you know, that you're going to get the value, not just for the dues. I mean, the dues is the least of it. It's your time.
Deborah, can you give some like examples? Because I think, you know, career advice is great. That to me says more of an association. But, you know, I find so many, and I'm going to say women because that's our listeners, right? Is so many professional women will join groups, and it's kind of like, I'm going to go to Star Wars here. I'm going to say they just want to feel the force, right? It's like, oh, well, we'll just see what happens. And I love the idea of building a strategy, but I find over and over so many women don't really have a strategy other than, okay, if we're in business and business development, we want ROI out of it. And it's like there's a way to do that. So if ROI is your focal point, you know, what are some suggestions you would have of strategies so, you know, you can kind of go through and navigate, you know, to find ROI? Because I feel ROI is a different definition for different things, right? I don't know what your opinion is, but what would you suggest for people to do that maybe they don't have a strategy? What, how do they find that? How do they get their strategy together? Because I find more often than not, women don't know what they want to have happen out of the group.
Sometimes they need some help with that. You know, sometimes they need to get some ideas around. But I think, you know, you kind of know whether you're joining for business development, whether you're joining, you know, you kind of know what reasons you're joining for. So let's say you're joining to create a, some resources so that when your clients say, gee, I need a lawyer, or gee, I need an accountant, or gee, I need to know someone who does X, Y, Z. I have a group of people that I can turn to, that I've vetted, that I know, that are maybe even my friends, who I can say, oh my gosh, you've got to call so-and-so. They're the right person for you. And I think when you have that network of resources and contacts and people see you as a connector, they're very attracted to you and they want to be around you. And some, you know, sometimes that in itself is a valid reason to get involved in organizations. It's just because I know a lot of people and people want to know me. You know, many people join because they want to get business. And again, like I say, you can't expect that right away. But I think if you join and you say, now, how can I help my fellow members? What can I do to help them? You know, I want to be sure that I can make those introductions. Or I want to be sure that I can help promote those people because I know they want that. I have a blog. I'm gonna write something about that person. Or I'm going to put something out on my social media feed. To let them know that they're doing this or that or the next thing. You know, trying to support your fellow members, I think, is a wonderful thing to be able to do because, you know, they're all looking for that. And so you do it for them.
I think that's most why people join.
And you don't do it because you want them to do it for you, but they do. They will. So I do find so many
women will feel threatened about how they have to be giving referrals. And I mean, I'd love to hear your analogy on that because it doesn't always have to be giving up your Rolodex, but it is about giving before you think you're going to get. I mean, talk a little bit about, you know, I know you've got a philosophy of you get what you put into it. So I know that's one thing I'd love for you to talk about. And then the whole idea of, you know, giving first, I mean, being a resource to others. It's like, you know, it's surprising to me. You know, you think all people want is for you to refer, but it's amazing when you put yourself out as a resource, they look for you for different things. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have to tell you, I was not always a connector. I was shy, as many of your listeners probably are, when I first started doing this. But I found over time that as I was able to help other people and make introductions or give suggestions or be a resource, it's very addictive. You know, I got hooked on it, and I sort of became a junkie because it was so satisfying to be able to refer somebody and have them use that resource and come back to me and say, you know what, that person was awesome. Thank you so much. Or for the person to come back to me and say, oh, my God, that was the perfect referral for me. I got the project, and this person is my client now, and we're doing business, and this is great. You know, it just made me feel so good that – And I eventually went from being shy, and I'll just give you an example. When I had my advertising business, I started it back in the 90s, and there were advertising associations, there was the creative club, and there were all these organizations that I could have joined, and I kind of played around with it, but I wasn't comfortable, and I was intimidated by all. I was a junior person, and I was intimidated by all these heavy hitters and senior level people. And so I said to myself, you know what? I'm not a joiner. And I didn't do it. I dropped out. And now I look back and I'm sorry, because I could have really advanced my career. I could have gotten better mentors. I could have leveraged myself into a better position in my job. There was a lot of things that those organizations could have helped me with, but I was afraid. And I say, yeah, sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone and just swallow the fear and do it, because I found that when I did start doing it a little bit later on, it was addictive. And I not only did I love it, but I really benefited from doing it. So
that's a great story. That's a great story. I mean, I think I did too. You know, when I first started, I didn't know what I was doing. So I think, you know, just maybe the message here for, you know, for those of us, for our lovely listeners, is just to think, you know, chill a little bit. It's like, you know, I think it's really important to get to know the organization. And I mean, just kind of evaluate it from a 30-foot view and go, you can't be involved in everything, right? We're not asking people to volunteer their lives away, right? To kind of be the joiner and the volunteer and the leader, because you've got either a business or a career to manage and run. And I think, you know, dip your toe in and give yourself time. And I just find so many women, but it's specifically in one area that I see a lot of, if you're a female and you're in sales or business development, you know, you've got the sales managers and the leaders that are pushing down hard to say you've got to find ROI in groups. And it just infuriates me, because their focus is you need to find business now. And I don't find membership groups, associations, or chambers are good to have that kind of philosophy. How do we get that message across? Because if you're someone that's getting the nudge from your sales manager to kind of like be putting ROI and getting that out of a group, that's tough.
See, but I think sales and business development are very different. And you're talking about sales, pressure to make sales. And I don't think that has anything to do with joining these associations. I think you have to divorce that objective from it. You know, if you do get involved and if you are successful and if you do develop resources and you do build your network, that's going to come. But I don't think that can be your top of mind objective in doing it. And I think you have to let your sales manager know, hey, I'm doing this for the long game. I'm doing this because down the road, it's going to benefit everybody. It's going to benefit me and you and our business. But don't expect me to come back to you at the end of the year and say, I can attribute this many sales. Now, that may happen, but I think that, you know, you have to let them understand that that's not what this is about. And
I love hearing you say that.
You brought something.
I love hearing you say that. Because I think so many women need to go back and share that, because, you know, where is it that, you know, I mean, everybody that talks about joining organizations will say you've got to give it time. And yet what I see with women who are in business development or sales or in some sort of a biz dev role is that the sales managers and the heads of sales are saying, well, you've got to show ROI. I mean, within just a quick time. So somebody needs to get the message to the head of sales and, you know, not marketing, but the heads of sales and business development that this stuff ain't quick. You know, it takes time. And if you're pushing it, you're going to look, you know, you're not going to look so good.
You know? And this is only one tool in the arsenal. And, you know, you're also probably going out and making sales calls and, you know, and doing other things besides joining organizations. It, you know, you can't expect that this is going to be your only way of getting business, right? It's something you have to look at as a build, you know, as something that's for the woman in business beyond her current job, or because this is something that you take through your career. I've always said to people, once you build that network of support and of resources, nobody can take that away from you. You can go from job to job, and it goes with you. In fact, when I closed my business, this is a cool story. I had been in business for 12 years, and as a business owner of an advertising agency, I had been a member of Provisors, which is the organization I worked for many years. And I did very well with it. I got business from it. I was very involved. I became a group leader. I did the rebranding for the organization. Everybody knew me because I was visible. And so when my partner retired in 2010 and I decided not to buy him out but to close the business, I walked into a job at Provisors because they knew me, and so they hired me. And that was directly a result of my network of the network of people that I knew and who knew, hey, she's in marketing. She could probably do this. She doesn't have experience doing membership, but she's a marketer. She can do this. And they snapped me up, and I was thrilled. So
they trusted you.
And that's how I got into doing what I do and loving what I do. And it was directly because I had built that network, and they knew me. So you
said I'm curious for you. It's like, I'd love to, I mean, I know you've got a long history in marketing. I love the story with Provisors that you used to work there. But how did you launch into your own business? What was the kind of like, you know, major tipping point for you to then say, I'm going to do my own thing? And now you work with membership organizations and helping them build their membership. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yes. Well, because I loved my job. I loved working with people. I loved helping them, you know, learn these principles, and I loved connecting them, and I just adored my job. It was very fun. But so when I left the employment at Provisors, I said, you know, I want to keep it's then there's a lot of organizations out there, and a lot of them need help. They all struggle, and many of them are run by volunteers who aren't membership experts and need support. Usually are overworked, underpaid, overwhelmed, and so I felt that this was something that I wanted to continue doing. Because I enjoyed it. So the other thing I wanted to be sure and mention before we end is there's a wonderful book that I discovered many years ago, and I used to recommend it to all of the people that I coached on building networks, and that's called The Go-Giver. And it's a little parable.
Love that
you can
book.
Read it in an hour or two. Have you read it?
I haven't.
Well,
I love
really
it. I love that book.
What we're talking about. It embodies
You're
these
right.
principles of give before you have any expectation of receiving, and then it does come back to you. It's karma. And it's just a lovely little book. And I think once you've read that and you go into the organization that you're joining with those ideas in mind, you know, that's when, you know, it really starts to make sense. And we also
I love that. And, you know, Deborah, we've only got a couple minutes left, but I'm curious as, you know, any final thoughts you might have for some of our listeners on, you know, one thing I know that you suggested we address is how can you be, you know, more memorable and attract others, you know, when you're part of an organization, because so many people think it's all about, you know, volunteering your time. And I think there's other things you can do, but what, or was that what you addressed
we
earlier,
could do
which
all
was
other
to kind of be of service?
That, Michelle. Yeah, we could do
okay,
another
we will.
Half an hour on that.
All right, we will.
Yeah.
I love it. We'll do that.
Yeah. But I think, it, you know, it's important to be very clear and memorable when you introduce yourself, you know, to have, I don't like the word elevator speech, but just to really be clear with people. And there's lots of ways to be memorable, not just in how you introduce yourself, but in what you do and how you do it and like I say, we could go into a whole half an hour on that. But the other thing I wanted to say is that if you don't like being in big groups and these organizations intimidate you, there are ways to get involved in them in smaller group settings and in one-on-one. There's volunteering for smaller committees where you do something with other people or you're raising funds or you're putting on an event where you're working with only three or four other people, that you begin to get to know them very well and sort of one thing leads to another and it snowballs. So you get comfortable working on a project with a few people and then, you know, the word gets around and you say, okay, well, I like that. That was good. I'm going to try something else. So, you know, it doesn't always have to be big groups, right?
I love that just because I think,
I
think there's, you know, that's something definitely as a strategy in groups is to look for, you know, you're always going to have the big events that are shiny lights or big things going on, but the more you could have the go deeper conversation among organizations or membership groups, that's where you really, I think that's where the magic happens is you get to know each other at a more intimate, mm-hmm. probably the wrong word, but just to kind of find out how somebody's wired and what they're all about. That really can create some amazing relationships. So cool. I've got one final question for you because I don't know if there's anything I haven't asked that you want to share is like something big, but share one more thing and, you know, one other piece of advice and then we're almost done.
Well, we didn't touch on the strategies too much and you just brought up when you said going deep, you know, those are two different strategies that we could explore. One is to go deep and to just find a few good people. You know, I'm going to use this organization to identify a few good people that I want to take with me for the rest of my career. And I only need a half a dozen of those people, and it might take me a year or two to find them, but that's my objective. And those are going to be my 18. The other strategy is to go broad. If you're somebody that's very unique and no one else does what you do, you want everybody to know about it. So you want to be broad. You want a lot of people to see and hear you and experience what you do. And, you know, because you're going to come top of mind when anybody asks for that little narrow niche. So those are two ways to approach a strategy. And it's different depending on what you do and what you want to get out of it. So, I mean, I think, and then there are other strategies too, but that's just one example of a strategy.
Oh, good advice. Good advice. You know, my big question for you is, like, where are you going with working with organizations? I mean, your goal is to, what, go, I mean, are you national now, you know, Deborah, or what's kind of like your future goals for you and your business? I always like to ask that. Where are you going, girl? Where are you going with your business?
Well, obviously, Michelle, local is better because it's easier. But my practice is national. I can work with organizations all over the country, virtually. You know, a lot of my work is on phone, and I can, you know, on the phone and online. I reach out. I get a lot of my outreach through LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I write a lot of articles. I give presentations. So while my focus is local, my ability to serve is national.
Cool. And I got a question. I mean, Deborah, if anybody wants to reach you, how would you like people to contact you?
Well, they can reach me at deb@getandkeepmembers.com or through LinkedIn. Reach out to me and connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always looking to connect with great people so that I can help them online as well as offline.
I love it. And we will have a link to you and your website as well. Is there a contact us on your website?
I have a very basic website. It's just getandkeepmembers.com. It's right now it's a one-page website. But my LinkedIn profile is really where my articles are residing. Eventually it'll be on my blog. But if you go to my LinkedIn, it's you'll find a lot more information than there actually is on my website. Website is under construction.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So here's my power question, and then we're at the end. But what is one thing you would, like, inspire or motivate our listeners to do or act on or be based on what we've talked about? How can you leave us on a really grand note? No pressure at all, right?
No pressure. I would just say get involved in something. You know, dip your toe in the water. I think what I said earlier would be my biggest takeaway is that don't wait to build your network of relationships. It's so important. Like I said, no one's going to take it away from you. It's yours. As long as you build it and nurture it, it goes wherever you go. And you never know, right?
I think that is so true because you don't. You know, you're talking to somebody, you don't know where it'll go. I mean, you're like, that's where we dropped the mic, Deborah. That was awesome. I want to say thank you to you for being our leading lady today and to all of our listeners. You know, we're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. for our Women Lead radio shows. And, oh, my gosh, we're almost hitting the month of March. So I want to encourage everyone to have a great week, and we'll see you on the next Women Lead radio show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.